my brother-in-law is a, he's a philosopher, and he wouldn't shut up long enough for me to confess him, so I've come up with a plan in my mind, being 14, that if I seen a car wreck coming, or I knew I was fixing to go, I was going to confess him real quick, and I was going to go out on a high. And that sounds crazy to you, but folks, religion will do strange things to you. Well, I believe that, and when I turned, I think about 23, I went to his church over in Pascagoula, and I look back now, and I'm pretty sure it's the one Ray Stevens was talking about. I went there with the sole purpose of wanting to confess in front of people that I trusted Jesus as my Savior, and I did that, and I thought I was saved. And for years, I thought that saved me. And I recently did get saved. And when I tell that story, I have friends that want to argue with me and tell me, no, you were saved. No, folks, I know what I was. So I did that and then went to church for a couple weeks, maybe a month. And I backslid, as they call it. And I had my name removed from heaven's book, is what I was told. I was struck from the record. But when I turned 32, my wife and I got married, and I knew that I needed to do something to serve God. He never left my mind, and wanting to know the Word of God was always on my mind. And when I would try without a teacher, I could get nowhere. So when I turned 32, we went back and we got our names rewritten on God's roll. They told us they bound us on earth, and that bound us in heaven, so we were good. Well, I started studying. It was a King James-only church. And we started studying. I started studying the King James Bible, and right away I started running into problems with what they were teaching me. Well, I just kept quiet about it. I asked a few questions and could get no answers. And you never get any clarity on things when you're wrongly dividing them. Everyone's been in denominations, y'all know that. Well, finally I got asked to teach, so I really started studying them. Well, one Sunday morning, me and Jeanette was getting ready to go to church. We lived in Spanish Fort, Alabama, and we were getting dressed, and she turned on the TV. This was about, I guess this must have been 8 or 10 years ago, Jeanette. She turned on the TV, and she turned it on Channel 3 out of Pensacola, and there was this old guy on there ranting and raving, and he had, y'all all seen how Brother Moore would draw the parentheses. You know, around Romans to Philemon. Well, sometimes while he talked, he would make them very thick. You remember when he would do that? Like that? He turned back around, and at the point he turned around and started speaking like this, Jeanette is my witness. Those two things were two horns growing out of his head. She saw it. But he kept talking, and he was hollering about Romans to Philemon, and he was very animated, and he made a statement, and I told my wife, he said, we Gentiles cannot find salvation in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He said, do you hear me, you Baptist preacher, just like that. And I heard him, and I told my wife, I said, he's crazy. That was it, okay? I didn't give him another thought. Well, I continued to study, and after having been given the job of teaching, I started getting in trouble at the Baptist church. It was an independent Baptist church who believed in replacement theology, although they won't admit it, and they believe in covenant theology, although they won't admit it. So there I am, stuck in that system, and when I started to teach that we were not Israel, I got exited out the door. Turns out to be one of the greatest days of my life. I'm a fairly big guy, and this little bitty guy was up there pushing me around, and they threw me out of the church. Seriously. Well, I knew that their doctrine was not right, but the problem was I wasn't sure of my doctrine. Through all my study, I had come across things that I knew were not working out in my mind with the theology that I had. And Acts 2:38 was a real key verse for me. I went to my King James Bible, and Acts 2:38 has a preposition in there. And it says that Peter told them that they were to be baptized for the remission of sins. Well, when you're a Baptist, you can't teach that. So what the Baptists do, most of them, I don't know what y'all do, is they start playing around with the translation. Be because that doesn't fit their theology. Well, now I'm headed down a road, and one little Greek preposition, the word is ace, led me into learning Greek and Hebrew. And I did that. And I've become very educated in all the manuscripts and in everything that they were finding and in all these different things. Very educated. And the more I learned, the further I got away from the truth of God's Word. I became someone who had no standard. And when you have no standard, you have nothing to go by. Not only was I lost, I was lost with no hope of salvation because I became the standard. And the whole time, folks, I'm teaching people the thing that is not the truth. And I worry myself to death about that because I started realizing I'm going down a dead-end street. I realized that when someone asks me, what does this scripture mean, and I can tell that person, well, the Greek word really means such and such, that I became the authority and we had no authority which to hold me in check. And that's a serious problem. When you don't have a standard, you have nothing to go by. And the world today has no standard. With all the different translations, I was totally fooled by all of it. And the more I learned, the further I got away from God and the more trouble I got in. And I got to a point where if you continue learning those things and you continue to study, you're left with one alternative, basically. You get into legalism. You become puritanical. You become trying to live up to a standard in God's Word because you can't see grace. And I could not see grace, and my sins were killing me. And I got to a point, I wouldn't tell my wife I wasn't saved because here I am teaching Bible classes. So my wife knows I'm not sleeping at night. I can't rest. I can't relax. It's driving me crazy. I'm at the end of my rope. And all of a sudden, I went to bed one night and I just prayed, Lord, my sins have... I can't get out from under them, and I don't know what to do with them, and I'm absolutely lost. I have read every book every man wrote, and I'm further from you than when I started. And when I woke up the next morning, E.C. Moore was on my mind. Now, I've had someone tell me they didn't believe that, but I'm telling you, I didn't know his name, but I remembered that old man, and I remembered Romans through Philemon. Through my own study, I had come to realize that what Paul and Peter said wasn't the same. But I couldn't reckon it correct in my mind. Well, I asked Jeanette if she remembered the man's name, and she didn't, so I started Googling. And I Googled TV preacher Pensacola. I Googled everything I could think of, and then I remembered Romans through Philemon. And as soon as I Googled it, up popped E.C. Moore. I watched the very first YouTube video that I could find. It was rightly dividing number, I forget the number. And right there, sitting in front of my computer, watching E.C. Moore, salvation came to me just clear as a bell. He went over Colossians 2, 10 through 13, and all of a sudden, everything got easy. I had peace of mind. I had salvation. I had it all. Well, I still had a major problem was that I did not have a standard. I had a King James Bible I was studying with, but I had tons of Greek things, and I mean, folks, there's no end to that stuff. Well, I met Jerry Lockhart over there, and I found out that there was somebody that could teach me the Bible. Somebody that would not mislead me, that would give me scripture, and I could go study the scripture for myself. So I sent out questions when I found this website with E.C. Moore had links on it, and I sent out a list of questions that were bothering me about baptism and other subjects to about four or five people. I'll have to ask Miss Barbara, but apparently Jerry does nothing but sit there all day because instantly my email came right back to me. Well, this list of questions come back and he gave me five very good scriptural answers. And I said, no, I don't believe this. So I said, well, I'm going to study it myself and then I'm going to fire an email back at this guy and I'll show him. I couldn't prove him wrong. He had the truth on his side. I didn't. So I sent him more questions, and he continued to answer every question I asked him, aggravating my note. But by the grace of God, steadily he continued, and I kept studying and studying and studying. And finally I reached a point where I realized the King James Bible is the Word of God. So Adoniram Judson spent 17 years learning the Burmese language, and then another, I think, nearly 15 years or something like that, translating the Bible from the King James Bible into the Burmese Bible. Well, it's still the Bible they use today. You can find that exact scenario in 37 countries, probably more, 37 that I found today. God's Word says that God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, I know that a righteous God would not leave all men without the Word of God. So I clearly realized that day, it's got to be the King James Bible. The greatest day in my life, spiritually speaking, was the day that I saw E.C. Moore on that computer and I realized what salvation was.
Amen.
I realized that Christ died for my sin and the job was done. I could lay it away. I was done with it. I honestly have not thought about my sins since. They're gone. I know that. But the second greatest day was the day I realized that I could just believe the King James Bible. And that was it. And once you make that decision, all of a sudden, everything else starts to make sense. And things you couldn't understand, they come clear. You quit fighting everything else, and you have a standard. And when you've got a standard, you've got something to measure everything against. So I know my story is probably a little different than a lot of y'all's, but the biggest thing for me after salvation was realizing that all the different translations, all the education, and the language, it's nothing more than... I mean, I don't want to offend anyone that, you know, delves into Greek and Hebrew, but it's a modern-day version of tongues, folks. You become someone that speaks something that no one else can understand, therefore you can pass anything you want by.
That's right.
And you truly can. I mean, if I spoke Greek right now, probably no one in here would know it. It wouldn't help a soul, but it would sure make me look good, wouldn't it? That's what it's about. Anyway, having said all that, I want to say this. Teaching classes is a huge responsibility. When you decide that you're going to teach the Word of God, you've got a huge responsibility you've taken on. And it has to be taken seriously. And being someone that misled people for a long time and seeing how easily people who don't study can be misled, my advice is that how serious and how important it is that each one of us study to show ourselves approved individually. If you don't study, someone can mislead you. And even well-meaning preachers that want to teach the truth will mislead you. I misled people for years, and people put trust in me, and I was leading them down the wrong path. And I feel horrible about that, and I hope I've been able to teach them right division since. But the bottom line is, when you don't study, you don't